and welcome to EG's Voice of the Region with me, Jim Larkin. You know the drill by now. We get to hear all about the inner workings of a particular corner of the UK CRE market thanks to the expert tutelage of an agent flying high in that area's radius under my rankings. And for the first time, we're off to Glasgow, where our expert is someone who's done an absolutely heroic number of deals, meaning he isn't just flying high in the regional rankings, but is the UK's top deal maker for 2023. It's Gregor Brown, who 3 years ago decided to go it alone and launch GM Brown. So stay tuned for answers to some, but not necessarily all, of the following. How did he get so many deals over the line? What state are all the major use types in 2024? What does the city centre need to do to retain its vitality? And which of the old firm teams is winning the league this year? Gregor, hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Jim. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. One of the reasons we're talking is because last week the full 2023 Radius Under My Rankings came out and you did 134 deals, which is more than anyone else in the UK. And, you know, assuming you had a little bit of holiday time, that works out pretty much 3 deals a week. How did you manage it, and kind of physically, how do you go about processing that level of activity?
Yeah, it was... I think since starting out solo, it has been a bit of a blur. Last year, from the numbers, obviously was very, very busy. Thankfully, still did make it away on various holidays, which was nice, but mainly tied in with weddings and things. But I think in terms of just churning through it, I think it's just been quite commercial with it and trying to not let things drag on and, you know, keep momentum going with deals, don't let things sit around and really, you know, try and, you know, particularly on lettings, kick it onto heads of terms fairly quickly and then hope that the legal process goes smoothly and everything gets tied up within, you know, a relatively short time frame. But I've got, you know, good systems in place for dealing with inquiries. I've now also got some added resource, which is helping very much. So it isn't just me. I've now got some helping with viewings from time to time and some admin assistance as well, who also helps out with odd viewing. But I don't know. I just sort of keep my head down and get on with it and try not overthink it, I would say.
That's probably a lesson for everyone in there. Okay, what's the overall sentiment like in and around Glasgow right now? Because I think, you know, last year was pretty flat for most parts of the UK, but clearly you're not struggling for deals. So yeah. Is that a sign that Glasgow is slightly bucking the national trend?
I would say it's sort of probably like a lot of areas in the UK, fairly sector specific. So industrial has continued to perform exceptionally well. There's still a lack of supply, plenty of demand, you know, strong rental growth across most size brackets. So yeah, sort of churny, smaller lettings have been, there's been high volume, as you'd expect. And then a lot of the retail stock that I deal with, it's sort of decent secondary locations. So kind of affluent, populous, suburban areas. The West End does very well in Glasgow, deal with quite a lot of stock there. And yeah, from a letting perspective, all of that has continued to go very well, but also there's still pretty strong investor sentiment. You know, people are confident these shops should continue to let. So, you know, people are still quite keen to buy them and add them to portfolios.
Okay, good stuff. Now, you launched GM Brown back in 2021 when we were still in the middle of a pandemic, which I guess is quite a brave thing to do. I mean, did you launch despite COVID or in some ways because of it? I mean, given the obvious boost it gave the logistics and industrial sector.
I think it was, you know, even over COVID when I was employed, I was still very busy and it was still within the sort of two main sectors that I focus on and that I've just touched upon, industrial and sort of secondary retail. So I sort of felt, well, look, if I was busy over the COVID period and there were so many restrictions and there was still a lot of uncertainty and not necessarily lots of confidence, I sort of thought, well, look, if things continue to get better, then there should hopefully be, you know, an even bigger upturn in transactions. So it just took a bit of foresight and I just took that view, look, it should hopefully just continue to kick on from here, which it has. And it's kind of hard, scary to think that that was really, you know, over 2 years ago now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess now we've kind of through that, but we've got a whole different set of political and economic uncertainty around. Is that kind of comparable? I mean, is that as bad or not quite?
I would say that definitely, you know, last year with interest rates going up and the Trustonomics factor, that definitely had a major impact and lots of transactions. Everyone sort of took a pause for a while just to see how things would pan out. And I would say just now, you know, there's still plenty of money out there, lots of people looking to put it into the right kit, but there's still a lack of purchase options. I think there hasn't really been as big a pricing correction as maybe some people thought there would be. And I remember when I started out and, you know, as a placement student, I was selling lots of distressed assets, but there's not really been much of that happening yet. I think people were anticipating there to be, you know, more pain, but which would thereafter, you know, create opportunities, maybe for sales. But I've personally not really come across much of that recently.
Okay. Geographically then, I mean, how would you describe the patch that you operate in?
So I would say it's sort of west and central Scotland. Most of my landlord's instructions are in and around Glasgow. So, and, you know, out to areas like Ayrshire as well, and then go south towards the borders more recently. But I need to naturally be careful not to, because, you know, instructions that are further away can mean, you know, longer drive times and things. So I do need to be slightly careful with that. But yeah, Glasgow and the surrounds, I would say.
Okay. And what's the, I guess, the USP of that particular market? I mean, what do occupiers get from there that they wouldn't elsewhere, or not to the same extent?
In what sense? Sorry, just...
Well, I mean, if you're an occupier, why are you looking to set up a base somewhere? What would be the appeal of Glasgow?
I would say that, you know, rents here are probably still relatively affordable to a lot of other, you know, major cities in the UK. Mm-hmm. I would also say that, you know, we've got very, very good road links. So, you know, the traffic isn't that bad, but, you know, connectivity to the motorway is very strong. And, you know, you can drive north very easily, south very easily. So I would say that, yeah, road connectivity is excellent. And also you've got a decent population and a good, you know, catchment pool for employment as well.
Okay. Now, if we drill down into industrial a little bit, obviously COVID sparked a massive boom in logistics. But kind of at what point did demand for that start to fall, and how big a part of the overall mix does it now represent?
Yeah, I mean, sort of even over COVID, I know there was sort of, you know, people like, yeah, stockpiling as such and taking on more space and having to cope more with, you know, higher orders on online retail and people looking, you know, using it more often. But when did that sort of peter away? I'd probably say at least a year ago. Hard to say. Me personally, again, a lot of the deals I was doing weren't, I didn't do many sort of deals with retailers as such, or people, you know, servicing retail customers. But I would say over the last 12 months, it's definitely kind of drying up. I would say, I think it's probably just a sign of people going out again and enjoying, you know, a true retail experience rather than clicking and buying.
Okay. And how big is manufacturing within the overall industrial mix? I mean, are people still making stuff? And if so, what?
Yeah, not so much, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, naturally, energy costs going through the roof, employment costs, difficulty of getting employment. Very few, again, of the transactions I'm doing are, if they are manufacturing, you know, it's very much small scale joinery workshops. Got a deal on the go with a company that serves their stainless steel specialists, so it's much smaller scale for local businesses, but there are still a good few of them out there.
Sure. Okay. I mean, is there I guess the work you do is incredibly varied, but is there a typical industrial tenant that you kind of see take place?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of contractors taking space at the moment, and smaller contractors, so people who maybe, you know, started working from home or maybe had containers, for example, and maybe a serviced office, and they basically just want to bring that all under the one roof. So you're finding a lot of that just now, people that have maybe got different locations spread about and just want to consolidate.
You're also involved quite heavily in retail. How's that looking broadly? Does it feel like things have stabilized a little bit post-COVID? Well,
I would say that, you know, out and out retail, so many of the smaller lettings deals and small shops, a lot of them are food orientated. There was lots and lots of that sort of during COVID, because, you know, takeaways could still operate, and there was sort of a real piped up demand. I would say that that's really been, again, scaled back, a bit like online retail in a way, where, you know, people can now go out to a restaurant, go out to a cafe. So they're, you know, there's not as much demand for out and out takeaways. That said, you know, unfortunately, there's been, you know, lots and lots of places closed in recent times. So in terms of new entrants to the market, people opening bars, restaurants and cafes, unless they're sort of already fitted and it de-risks it all, there's, you know, not as many opening just now. And then your sort of typical service providers, there's still lots of them, you know, whether it's, you know, hairdresser, beautician, masseuse, physio. And then you've got still plenty of professional practices taking, you know, retail units for office use, like lawyers, accountants, estate agents, mortgage brokers, etc.
Last year, Glasgow Council approved a plan, which I think was called the Golden Z, to kind of repurpose the city centre. I mean, it's complex, but the plans basically involve doubling the number of people that live in the city centre and then replacing much of the retail offering with a focus on health and leisure and entertainment. I mean, is that something you kind of broadly support? Do you think that's the way that our city centres are going to go?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that Glasgow's needed for a very long time. It's a city where it's so easy to commute. There's not really a big pull factor to stay in the city centre. So during the week, you know, it is quieter in the evenings because people will just come in to the office and then go home again. The main street, you know, Cannon Street, principal retailing street, that's still, you know, busy throughout the week, but it needs more people living in the centre that then, you know, uses what's on their, people use what's on their doorsteps, rather than using what's local to where they live and just coming in to, for work purposes only, really. But that should help. There's been, you know, various BTR developments done in the city centre, on the edge of the city centre, and various new ones in for planning. So it's going to be interesting to see how those perform as well, what the take-up levels are like, but hopefully, you know, they do fill up, and hopefully it will thereafter have a positive impact and make the shops, restaurants, bars, etc. busier.
Sure. Now, how much of a kind of part of the mix of what you do is offices, and kind of how's that sector looking?
I do some offices, most of deal with predominantly sort of office sales. I do deal with lettings as well. A lot of the smaller size brackets have, you know, continued to do pretty well, sort of up to, you know, 2,500 square feet. A lot of companies have naturally downsized, and there's this hybrid working model where I think a lot of companies are still trying to work out, you know, how many people are actually going to be in the office at the same time. And but I think there's sort of bigger corporates, they're having to make the office super nice to then entice people in. So from what I can see, the sort of quality of office fit outs with a lot of the corporate occupiers is, you know, really, really nice. But there's still, unfortunately, a glut of vacant office space in Glasgow city centre. And on the flip side, you know, Edinburgh's performing exceptionally well, but we need to get, you know, I think newer companies coming to Glasgow as well to take the space, because a lot of the time it seems to just be, you know, existing occupiers moving from building to building. So then that leaves a lot of the poor stock vacant at the bottom. And then, you know, I suppose that's another way that these buildings will start to be repurposed for, you know, the likes of residential, lodged in accommodation, hotels, etc.
Sure. Do you feel like occupiers or office occupiers have more generally kind of figured out what they actually want from an office and how they're going to use it, and you know, so they can kind of plan for the next 5 to 10 years in terms of space they'll take?
I think so, but you know, I was in a lawyer's office tail end of last year, and I think they've maybe been in the space for 6 months or so, and they're already thinking, right, we don't have enough space now because the office has been done up super nice. People want to be in there, and it's now a booking system, and you know, they can't accommodate everyone that wants to be in there, so people are only allowed in certain days. But that's also a really encouraging sign that, you know, people can see the benefit of the office and are enjoying being in the office. And hopefully what's happened there is happening across other countries, and other companies, and that will help to fill the space.
Sure, definitely. Okay. How much investment work do you do, and how's that looking on that side of things?
I do a bit. That's been slightly trickier again over the last year or two. You know, I deal with various investment stock, mainly in the acquisition side rather than selling, albeit I have sold a few things recently. It's, again, industrial investment still very strong.
Mm.
I would say that, you know, the secondary retail investment, that I deal with, again, is strong. You know, people are paying punchy prices for the right thing. Offices are still a challenge because, you know, take-up's just not quite there, and you know, they're worried about void periods and incentives you need to give. So, industrial still doing well. Trade counter sector still exceptionally popular. Multi-let industrial obviously is doing exceptionally well, but again, there's sort of not been that maybe pricing correction that people were thinking, you know, would maybe come. So if people are taking debt on a purchase, you know, there's really not much of a margin in it for a purchaser. So a lot of the time it really still needs to just be outright cash purchases to make it work at all.
A thing that Scotland has that the rest of the country doesn't is the few hold system, and kind of one aspect of that is that occupiers can effectively buy a part of a building rather than the whole thing. I mean, how useful is that as an option, and do you think the rest of the UK is missing out by not having a similar thing?
It's very common. I mean, appreciate you've got like long leasehold in England. Mm. You know, as soon as someone mentions long leasehold in Scotland, they sort of run away scared more often unless it's, you know, in excess of 100 odd years, because it ends up just having such a negative impact on the value. It's good. And it also means that, you know, I think down south, though, they are looking to change that system, the long leasehold, or there's a possibility of it. But it's all I've been used to, so I can't really comment on, you know, I've not really worked in a market where there's been long leasehold, but yeah, it's definitely useful because it can help. Mind you, my thought is here, you know, if someone buys a whole building and then sells off bits off it on a floor by floor basis, I suppose you can still do that south of the border, but it might just be on a long leasehold basis.
Sure.
I'm not entirely sure the ins and outs.
Okay. And as a company, what are your plans for the next or the year ahead? I mean, are you looking to grow geographically or in terms of sectors you operate in?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, kind of developed a decent enough reputation and profile within industrial logistics and sort of secondary retail. So both of those sectors are continuing to perform well. So I'd like to kind of continue to focus within those, and I don't really see the position changing anytime soon with that. In terms of growing, my colleague, she was working just part-time, but now she has agreed to join full-time, which is great. So that should definitely help take a bit of the pressure off my shoulders. And yeah, I think I just want to sort of keep it small and see how having that additional help full time is going to help over the next sort of six months or so, and then probably reassess things thereafter and see, you know, do I need another pair of helping hands or not? But it was that kind of like any, you know, being a new business owner, sort of taking on big overheads, it was quite scary at the beginning, but then you sort of realize that you need that to be able to continue to provide, a good level of service and, take on more work, and being able to service it properly.
Okay. Now we're speaking an hour or so ahead of Jeremy Hunt announcing the budget. What are the steps that you'd like to see him take that would kind of help out the commercial real estate market in your patch?
To be honest, I've got absolutely thought you were looking at budget that I've not had time. Yeah, you've completely caught me there.
No, don't worry about it. No, I mean, I was going to ask, I mean, how much does the kind of Westminster government influence, the business environment in Scotland, given that, you've got quite a devolved government?
Mean, I think what needs to be addressed here is the business rate system. And it's just crippling so many smaller towns and high streets where, you've got large rateable values that are way out with the realms of affordability for smaller local businesses. So you've got building owners that have got big buildings, big rateable values, really heavy holding costs that, unless the rate system changes or unless there's some massive unprecedented sort of uplift in demand from nationals, no one's going to be able to afford them. I also think what they've done south of the border with, permitted change of use to residential, and just it's a much easier planning system. And I think there was also something about building warrants getting turned around quickly as well. That would definitely assist. I know that's not necessarily budget related, but yeah.
No, so planning and business rates will be your big two areas.
Yeah, because it's crippling a lot of businesses, and I know that a lot of the leisure guys up here just now are really feeling the pinch.
Okay. Kind of staying on a political theme then. I guess, do you feel like the political uncertainty we've got over not knowing when an election is coming is kind of causing people to delay decisions in terms of investment or occupying, or not so much?
Don't think so, to be honest with you. I think the sort of biggest political thing here was the prospect of potential independence, but I think now that that's looking, highly, it won't happen. That was an excuse that people were using, back at the first over recent years because there was the fear of another NDREF. But now that that's off the table, it's no longer like an excuse not to do things. But no, I wouldn't really see, the next general election has caused any impact in the areas that I operate within.
Okay. Now, over on Property Link, we have a reporting tool which measures concrete inquiries on a city-by-city basis. And it's probably no surprise that London comes out on top. But second by some distance for the whole of the UK is Glasgow. Does that come as a surprise, or is it something your experiences would lead you to suspect anyway?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, I'd say that the good thing is Glasgow's got it's quite a wide geographical area, so it doesn't just obviously encompass the city centre and immediate surrounds, but Greater Glasgow covers a lot of really strong different towns, sub-markets. So no, it doesn't really come as a surprise, to be honest. There's lots of properties up here, lots of opportunities across a fairly wide area.
Good stuff. Excellent. Okay. And just finally, are you Celtic or Rangers or neither? And who's winning the league this year?
I'm a rugby man, so
Oh, fair enough. Nice. Okay, good stuff. All right. Well, thank you ever so much for your time. That was really interesting.
good. No, really nice to chat with you, Jim. And yeah, no, good first podcast. That's a new experience.